You've been in Calgary a long time, and you didn't like pop onto my radar until like very recently. And I worked in nightclubs for a decade, and I was just, you know, I was in a world for a long time. And our paths never crossed, which I find fascinating. But, you know, to see what's happening lately, just seems like you're in a groove right now. It seems like there's opportunities, or you're connected to some.
I'll give you the pin up the pinnacle credits. COVID-19, President Trump, the death, the murder of George Floyd, and Black Lives Matter is the reason I'm here.
Hmm. You'd like, those are three moments, and you know exactly why they...
Because I have never betrayed my style of poetry. Once I found who I was and did it, I wasn't well received. I wasn't well received in my Black literary community because I didn't say what they wanted to hear and I didn't say how they wanted me to say it. I wasn't really received in the CanLit community. It's CanLit and it's 1999. Do the math. Hold on. What was the question again? I was about to roar through. Oh, what I'm doing. Yes, here we go. I've never stopped doing what I'm doing the way I want to do it. I've worked no jobs to speak of that are worthy. I've worked dead-end jobs. I've worked to just eat. I've never had a future in any place that would dare employ me. I have said this recently because I think it's powerful, and I was afraid to say it to people because maybe it just sounds old school poetic. Listen to him wax. No, I am prepared to write to death. I didn't think I was going to have a great death, man. I said I got one good thing that I seem to be able to hold on to whether I have an audience or not. I was going to write to fucking death. I was writing to death at jobs that weren't respecting or paying me. I was just living through this regular reality that we call a rat race, per se. And then COVID fucking 19 hits. And the pandemic changed everything. My life changed on lockdown. There I am working at a massage clinic. I'm putting in my 40 hours. I've got an hour here and an hour there on public transit. That's 10 hours a day. That's 5 days a week. That's 50. I did some math. And I said, okay, in this lockdown, I basically have, actually, they're 12-hour days. Mm. That's it. Because I don't walk in and work. There's always it's massage. There's the prep and the technical. Mm. These are 12-hour days. That's 60 hours a week. We now have, what's 6 times 12? 72. I now have 7,200 free fucking hours. Pardon me. Because everyone who's an artist, pardon me, everything crying. Everyone who's an artist who isn't making it, just like me, at the time, I think I'm making it now. Ask them, what do you need to make it? They never say money. We always say time. I suddenly have 7,200 hours at once. I said to myself, this is it. I'm going to take this as a sign. This must be the time to work on my career. What the fuck does that even mean? Because all I've been doing is hitting a post and a text and an email and getting a gig here and there, and I can't do it because I have to take days off. It's the same old routine that it's been for all my life. Mm-hmm. 7,200 hours in a fucking row. That's different. What do I do? Whatever it is that you're going to do, you have to have a realization of what it is, the atmosphere in which you're going to do. The atmosphere is, if you're a performing artist, you now have no audience. Unless it's here. Mm-hmm. It's got to go digital. It's got to go online. People do one of three things with anything when it comes to changing. I'm going to dig in my heels. I don't like audio. I don't like visual. I don't like this AV digital. I don't like online. some of our elders, they don't like technology. Some people who just don't like technology, regardless of generation, some people dug in their heels and said, I'm not going to try and make a virtual presence with my artwork during this lockdown time. I even had some artists say to me, yeah, man, I need a break. I'm going to take it. Yeah. You see your eyes? I looked at them. Really? You're doing that fucking good. That you got. Amazing. Go. You're going to take a break. Well, you don't have to work. You're going to take a break from art. Pressure. So we've got people who say, fuck it, dig in their heels. Then you've got people who do what most people do. Okay, half-assed effort, medium amount of effort, medium amount of results. It's just like going to the gym for 2 fucking weeks, 2 fucking months, 2 fucking years, and you're still not Arnold Schwarzenegger, give up. And then there's people like me. And the people like me don't have to be addicts, but they have that kind of energy where they put it all into what they wish to. I put my addictive energy into how do I become more present? Because I don't want to go back to massaging in this clinic. I had already wanted to quit. I already was disenchanted with working in someone else's dream. That's my nightmare. Mm. That is my fucking nightmare. It started out nice because you better make it nice. And then it was terrible. Mm. And I didn't want to go back, man. I said, I got to get out of here. That's what these 90 days are about. I got to get out of here. I actually had a business card holder. You know, that you get your cards in, like the actual. Mm-hmm. And when I opened it, it had that many business cards of people who've given me their cards over time that I never got to. I got 12-hour days. You want me to hit you up at 6 a.m. or do you want me to hit you up at 9:30 p.m. Mm-hmm. when you're ready to hear some shit coming out of my mouth that's totally thin because I've been working for the last 12 hours? Like, I emailed, phoned, faxed. I had a fax at the time. Mm-hmm. I hit up everyone whose number or whatever contact was still operational and said, hi, it's Wakefield Brewster, and we met somewhere, and I'm so very sorry it's taken this long, but I'm still around, and right. I still do what I do. I just wanted, Jeff, I'm just, we met at Model Milk one day, and mm-hmm. I'm still here. Mm. 99% of those people reached back. So when the pandemic lockdown lifted up, I had a lot of online gigs happening. And inside of that one thing, when I talk about effort, in my day, you had to walk around and go to 100 open mics. Man, I had to leave my house for 100 different nights. Now it's all online. How easy it is. Are you telling me that it's too much effort to fucking look through the internet while you have 7,200 hours and find your communities and find opportunities? Because most of them are actually free to participate, and some of them are paying because they want participation. They want something to contribute to the community, which is now only virtual. I couldn't believe how so many poets didn't do what I did. Mm. I blew myself up because of lockdown during the pandemic. Now, President Trump, I love that guy. Love this guy. This guy did something for me, my BIPOC people, and everyone who is a vulnerable, a member of a disenfranchised or vulnerable community. He made hate popular. He put it in the open. He made it so delicious. Motherfuckers in their sheep's clothing, them wolves came out to eat. And they started hating out loud. Their memes. Oh, it's just locker talk. Soon as that dude made hate great, here's Wake. Delete that guy, delete that girl, delete that guy, delete that girl, delete this, he, she, them, don't care. Delete you motherfucking here, there, everywhere, don't fucking care, this shit can't stay. My circle of sociability, socialness, whatever you want to call it, my circles got smaller, and I'm happy because I had friends who were racists. and I have friends who were genderists, and I have had friends or associates who were ists, and ists cause isms. Hmm. Name your ist, pick your ism. You ain't in my life. That was the wonderful result of Trump. The haters got busted. The third thing I said was the murder of George Floyd. I am not happy for the murder. I'm saying the murder of George Floyd unfortunately contributed to me in this broad sense that 400 years is today. For once, when me and my people scream 400 years, it's not 400 years ago, it's 400 years and counting, and there it is in the fucking road. Now, you know his name, and maybe you knew Ahmaud Arbery, maybe you knew Breonna Taylor. Do you know how many George Floyds there were that day in that same city, in that same state that you don't know? That happens every day. And now you can't deny it. Because we are locked up, as soon as anyone does anything, we see it. Mm. You motherfuckers are so exposed. Awesome. Awesome. This murder of George Floyd put our grievances on a world level scale. Man, we had brothers and sisters in Japan marching with their fists fucking up. Mm. Now, when I bring those three things to light, some people don't get it. And I say, listen, I'm in Calgary. Reputedly one of the whitest places with backwards ways. It's called Hellberta for reasons. I believe it's not all Hellberta. Nothing is absolute. This is the third most culturally diverse city in Canada. It ain't redneck. I can say that the generations of rednecks and redneckery, they are quite generational, and they are moving on. Now, they teach their kids, but I believe that those teachings get thinner and fewer as the generations move on, and I believe that has shown itself to be true here. People like Kada Lemon, thanks. She, as a leader, and her associates, colleagues, like-minded people, I'm starting with her for a reason. Because in 2020, she published me in the detour section, just one page after I'd become the first resident poet and spoken word artist of the Grand Theater. A reputedly, notably toxic place, the birthplace of Canada's first human rights case, Charles Daniels. I'm up in that place just for doing work in the community, being present, trying to be that person with poetry, with pigment, with presence in places that you've never seen me before. I think when all of these things together took note, and there I am charging poetry still in this kind of underground but steady way, I think Calgary, the good, the forward-thinking, especially allied communities, said, this is my imagination, said, we can't deny we have people who don't look like us truly contributing to the fabric of us. I truly think that these incidents, the pandemic, made us see all of each other, especially ourselves.
Mental wellness is a thing.
Yeah. Trump and his hate, and then we started to see it's everywhere, even right beside us. Is it in me? And then, for my people, this particular murder that made particular communities here in Calgary truly see who some of their contributors are.
Mm.
They don't look like they've always looked like.
Mm.
That was 2020. I get that one little page. Man, I cut it out with an X-Acto knife and it's still framed over my desk.
It almost doesn't even make sense, right? From like where you were and to have that moment, that is a cutout frameable.
It is cut out.
That is like...
Miss Lemon. Mm-hmm. It is cut out. And it is, I walk and I see it, and it's not ego. It is literally, I think this is where it began. Really, I mean that. That garnered so much publicity for me, that one detours.
Crazy.
2 years later, I'm Poet Laureate. A year later, Avenue gives me a feature. The steps of being recognized are in these very personal and sometimes public triumphs.
Yeah.
I feel that I'm not the only one winning either. As Poet Laureate, I've been exposed to the arts communities and other communities a lot more often. I'm not the only artist who's got it going and getting it going on.
Mm-hmm.
This entire city, artistically, is becoming one of the most influential cultural and artistic hubs Canada has.
Mm-hmm.
Those three major things for my life, I believe, put me here. Or I'd be spending 12 hours a day still. Like, what was going to stop it? I'm the first Black Poet Laureate.
No way.
There's been five before me. I've lost five times. Five people who, generally, for all intents and purposes, have the same appearance. Status quo. I don't think I could have done these things anywhere else. Calgary, the struggles I've had in Calgary, the trials that I've had in Calgary have turned into triumphs.
Mm.
The trials that I had back home in Toronto, unfortunately, turned into tribulations. They often went in the wrong direction, that worse. It did get worse before it got better. But I did it here in Calgary. For all intents and purposes, I left home to find out where I belong in the world.
Mm.
Calgary, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I actually feel embraced by a community that is citywide. I don't get stopped in the street. People don't know who I am. But I feel like I'm at home, man.
Mm.
Like, I privately walk around like the king of Kensington. Just like, yeah, man, I had a Kensington in Toronto. We got a Kensington here. I'm in both of them. I'm wearing my own crown. I'm getting down. I love this. I love it here. And I love feeling that I'm not just a poet and spoken word artist, but I'm a community member who genuinely loves to contribute. And I want to make Calgary a better place however I can with what I've got. I really love it here.